some people count down to the beginning of the season, which is completely understandable, and others make a countdown for the spring game. And if you're in the latter category, you have made it one day away. Tomorrow is the Michigan spring game. So get excited, get ready, fire up, whatever you do during the season. Maybe you'll do some of that same stuff to make it feel like it's a college football season with the spring game going to be played, the 2024 Maize and Blue game tomorrow. And Michigan fans are excited about what they will see down there. We're ready to talk about it here on the Maize and Blue Review. As you might expect, we have been in that category of folks that have been counting down the days until the spring game. Also have some basketball news. Dusty May. We know it's April, but May is out there, and he's working for some pledges and commits. It's a big weekend. Going to be a few players that will be, I would guess they would take the spring game in, go over to the big house, and you know, maybe they'll pull some commitments over the weekend. We'll give you some of those names. We'll look at the roster when it comes to the Wolverines on the hardwood. But it is the spring game. It is tomorrow. We have made it. Any questions? What, you know, you think, well, what are the top five things? I threw some things down that I'll be looking at. You know, the one thing, you're a Michigan fan, and you know, you we all do it. Like, well, so what would be the top thing that you'd be looking for? That's easy. It's going to be the quarterbacks. But everything. You're looking at everything about Michigan. And then this year, this is the first time that you have seen Michigan since January the 8th. When they won the national championship, and you know, they had the parade and they had the combine in Indy, and then they had the pro day in Ann Arbor, which was a, you know, definitely a celebration of Michigan in a victory lap. This starts next season out, but you know, you still have the remnants of the national championship, because Michigan, you know, they are the defending champs. And you'll see it. You're watching this game on Fox. You know, Joel Klatt, how many times are they going to mention the champs? Or Jenny Taft out on the field, the champs. Will they have any signage in there about, you know, the champs? The champs are here, and they're ready to go. So I'm interested, just like you, to see, you know, what they bring out when it comes to that. As always, you know, I love the feedback. Ferris is planning on going to the spring game, and he is making the plans here to be by the Eagle statue at 11:30 tomorrow. And Ferris, that is the plan. Southwest corner of the stadium, that is a stadium in Maine. Oh, during the season, they have the police officer there that will make some jokes. All you fans from Ohio State, look, you know, it's funny. You know, you get in there and everybody's crossing and getting in, then you go right in the gates and there'll be this statue. Yeah. And at 11:30, I'll be there. And Jerry Diario, who has joined us oftentimes really throughout the season, he is en route to the spring game right now. He's been down in Florida. He's making his way north. Jerry's going to be so cold tomorrow. You know, all these Floridians are down, you know, they're 90 degrees and everything else, and it's going to be a rude awakening for the snowbirds that are coming up. It's not a bad plan. This has been a weird year. It was like 70 the one day in February, and then you know Michigan has pushed back their spring game 3 weeks because they won the national championship. But it's going to be like, I don't know about February, but it's not going to be the greatest weather. And for that, I'll put the forecast up there. They're calling for, it's not even going to get 50 degrees tomorrow, and just partly cloudy. It's not going to be freezing, but you know, you expect the, if you're going to get there around 11 or 11:30 and you're going to be walking, you know, you dress for temperatures in the 40s. Now you walk around Ann Arbor and, you know, half of the students are wearing shorts in the winter. So, you know, they'll be, you know, That's not me. I'll have a coat on walking to the stadium, but it's all right. 40, you know, I can handle it. If it was windy, if they were calling for it being windy and in the 30s, I would have to pull my fair weather fan card out and say, I'm not so sure. If it was even going to be colder than that, I might get like dropped off right at the stadium where I only have to, you know, like walk 50 feet in there and, you know, but no, it should be okay. And toughen up a little bit when it comes down to it. So that's where I'm at. That's where I'm sitting for the weather. Now you say, well, what are you looking for? And I think the quarterbacks, it's not only the obvious one. This is going to be, you might be tired of it. I don't think you're tired of it yet. J.J. McCarthy is going to get picked in the first round on Thursday. Greatest Michigan quarterback ever. And who knows, J.J., I don't think he's going to be the number two pick, but it wouldn't totally shock me. Could he be a top five pick? That's like the debate, one of the hot debates right now, whether he's worthy of being a top five pick. I saw Kurt Warner this morning saying no. He does not think so, but there's others that were on that panel that were like, no, Tannenbaum, the former GM, is like, oh, yeah, J.J., he's all in on J.J. You're all in on J.J., but now you have to see who is going to replace him, and every throw, every snap by every quarterback tomorrow is going to be analyzed and scrutinized, and we're going to put the spotlight on the QBs. I am going there with a phone and an iPad and a pen and a piece of paper. And I will be charting everything that the quarterbacks do in the game. Just like you. You'll be watching it like, ah, it's a bad throw. It's a good throw. So and that's it. If there's one overriding piece to the 24 Michigan spring game, it's going to be the quarterback play. Now, after that, you know, we could go position by position and everything else. Just the two deep overall. You get the first string out there for a series or two, and you know, then you've got some guys that will have missed spring because of different ailments or whatever. They're, you know, getting cleaned up surgery, so it's not going to look exactly like it would be. And so then you start looking, okay, who's this and that. So you're analyzing the two deep. If I was putting a list together, if I wanted to go to five, I would just pull one of the position groups out and say, oh yeah, you know, this is going to be the one. But the entire two deep is something that I think we look at. And then, you know, the depth as you go on, I think any, let's say casual, I don't think anybody watching, you know, if you're watching a spring game preview less than 24 hours before the game, you're not a casual. You'll probably watch the entire game, or you'll tape it and you'll go back and watch it. I got to the second half of the Ohio State game. I was like, okay, you know, that's it. The first quarter was, you know, I don't know about entertaining, whatever. It was interesting, semi-interesting watching Ohio State. But you get to the second half and, you know, you're a diehard if you're watching what's going on with Michigan. And the kickers. Kickers is the one. I don't know how many people are talking about the kickers. We don't like to talk about kickers. We like to say, hey, you know, let's just see them out there kicking the extra points. But the last 2 years, Jake Moody, like the greatest kicker in Michigan history. And it was like, how do you replace a guy like that? Well, James Turner came in and did a great job. You think about late in the season against Ohio State, it was like difference in the Ohio State game. You want to make a case for that Turner. So we're going to look at the Michigan kickers, and they can kick all day long. It's reminiscent to me of what's the closest thing. I've put two things in there because these guys can go out and make 50-yarders with their eyes closed, you know, down there at Glick Fieldhouse with, you know, their teammates around them. And, oh, you're going to have to run a lap or something, whatever they do. Blare some music in their ears. But you put a camera These guys with 1 million people watching and 60,000 folks in the stands. It's completely different. It's like shooting free throws. You and I could go down there and we could make free throws all day long, but then you put us in the arena and say, all right, this one's for $1 million. And whoo, now you'd like to just say, yeah, you're going to bury it. And, or the other one is hitting that tee shot. It's all, you know, you can go out and do it at the range and you can even do it at the course, but then you go out to the big private course. And you get your chance, and you tee up one, and there's other people watching. It's different. It's a long way to go to say, I know everyone agrees with me that, you know, kicking, at least what you have. And I think it's the same thing a little bit with the quarterbacks. You're out there, okay, yeah, we're throwing. Now you know everybody's going to be scrutinizing every little detail. Let's see. Are you ready to go and play with a little pressure? Does it mean everything? No, it doesn't. But I'm one that you watch what's going to take place and you don't have to overreact. And although, you know, it can be fun. Overreacting can be fun, you know, like blowing everything off, whatever you want to do, whatever makes you smile and feel good. But you do have a lot of people that will go overboard, underboard, undersell anything that's going on. Take it for what it's worth, a spring game. And I was thinking about just casually about some of the spring games of yesteryear. And you know, one I remember was Devin Bush, the linebacker, when he was a freshman in his first spring game. You know, I was just sitting back watching the spring game. There's this number 10 and he's just pouring in. He's just blitzing and he's just pouring in on the quarterback. I'm like, wow, who's this guy? You know, you look at him, Bush, all right. And then he would do it again. And you saw it. You're like, man, this guy's a player. I saw that in the spring game. And I know you would forward a lot of different players. So you'd go to last year and you'd say, Peyton O'Leary, spring game MVP. Well, for a national championship team that was stacked with their wide receivers, two guys that are going to be picked in the NFL draft next week, Cornelius Johnson, who had a great combine, and then Roman Wilson, who kind of snuck up on everyone last year. I had people that, and like I say, I always enjoy the feedback for everybody. I had a lot of people over there saying, Roman Wilson's not all that good. Athlons doesn't even have him as in their top, top 10 wide receivers of the Big Ten. We knew that. But, you know, the point was, is that four-string wide receiver, it's tough to hit the field when you have, those kind of players in front of you. Speaking of that feedback, let's get to it a little bit. It's great to see Richard on here. And Michael's talking about drafting the teams. That's what Ferris wants to know. What will be the format of the game? What will the draft happen at the beginning of the game, or will they just announce it at noon? I think they do the draft prior. That's the way they did it in the past. I don't think, does Sharon have to put his own imprint on the spring game the way he wants to do it? I would imagine that he would just continue on. You get, Kirk Campbell would be coaching the one side and maybe Wink would be coaching the other side. And then they just alternate and they make their picks. And, you know, there you go. That's not that big of a deal to me. You know, the great part is Michigan's going to win. You know, I know it could be frustrating for some people. You know, exhibitions and spring trainings, they screw with people. Like, so if the first play, for instance, if you had TJ Guy, he was in there and he went burning and he made some great move and he was right on top of the quarterback and hit his heart and say, wow, TJ Guy's great. He's like, wow, that left tackle sucks. Great pass rush. The offensive line's a question mark. The defensive line's great. You know, so you know, those are things that, you know, you're the good and the bad for spring game. And again, it frustrates some people. I know that watching preseason NFL games, somebody will do something. Oh, it doesn't matter. You know, who cares? Spring training, I've watched, and I get it too. I'm not taking a whole lot of spring training. I've watched a guy go, 0 for 50 in spring training, you're like, this guy shouldn't even make the roster. And then opening day, he goes 3-for-4. I was like, well, what did we learn about spring training? So, you know, you do have to keep all of that kind of stuff in mind in terms of the format. You know, though, Michael's talking about it. They've drafted. Richard's talking about practice. Practice. That's what it is. It is the 15th practice for spring ball. Or Leary over 50 yards. Okay, I'm with you on that one. You talk to guys like Scar, anybody that played football at Michigan, and they talk about spring. The players, they like playing football. And, you know, if you played whatever sport yourself, you know, practice was okay. But sometimes, you know, you practice. It's like, this is the end of spring ball and the end of practice. After the game, these guys will have a smile a mile wide. They are, I don't want to say party time or, you know, but it's a joyful time. You put in your work, you love playing football, but you know, at the end, you're ready for it to be over and you're ready to move on. So a lot of smiles from the players, you know, as well, when it comes down to it. We've got MB talking about, I guess, players in the portal. I did not realize that Chucky Hepburn was in the portal. But if that is true, yeah, Hepburn's a heck of a player. I would, I'd like to see that. Yeah, the TV part is, a lot of times, who did we have last year? We didn't have a play-by-play guy. I was critical of that. And it was Devin Gardner and Jake Butt. I was critical of a lot of people. Not everybody knows what's going on over there. A lot of times with color analysts, you know, they're just talking. It's like a Manning cache. You don't even know what's going on down there. But then I watched it. I'm like, those guys did a great job. You know, so not that I was critical of either of those guys. They're fantastic players. Both of them are excellent broadcasters in their own right. But they're both color analysts, not play-by-play guys. And I thought that was a miss by Fox, was it Bally's last year that put those guys in there, but they did a good job and it was a good broadcast. So, but now you're going to have, you know, it's like a real crew in there. I don't know. I guess I should have looked if it's going to be Gus. I'm Joel Klatt. I don't think Urban Meyer is going to be in there, but you know, Brady Quinn and Joel Klatt down on the field. And, you know, you'll probably have a play-by-play guy. So, you know, that's pretty good. And what's going on? I think they had two people out of the sideline for the Ohio State game. OT loved the Butt and Gardner combo. He would actually prefer it. Yeah, well, they did a good job. You're right about that. I was surprised. So that's it. Tim with a prediction of Davis Warren being the MVP. Richard likes the football weather. And Andre says Michigan all the way. Yeah. Michigan all the way. So this is a lot of fun. You know, for folks that would be, I don't know, could you be on the fence about, well, when I go to a spring game, it's just a practice, the guy's not really hitting, what's the big deal, I got to drive all the way down there. If there's those kind of things, it was like I was thinking about with the NFL draft being in Detroit. And my friend was talking about, and he was going down there, and I'm like, well, so you have a plan or anything? He's, no, my plan is, he said, I'm going down there, that's my plan. And I said, well, you know what? He said, I'll find a spot to watch it. If I don't get close enough and can't see, there'll be a couple hundred thousand people down there. He said, it's about the energy and it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And then he's also somebody that likes to get his social media going. So he needs some content. And, you know, I was just thinking that, you know, the draft will be a great social media. You like taking TikToks, sit around with hundreds of thousands of people in downtown Detroit. Woo! You know, the draft. And You know, you could fill up Instagram, everybody. I mean, that's, it's a, it is a social media content bonanza. But also the energy of hundreds of thousands of people just all like love the NFL draft, love the Lions, it being in Detroit at an event. A little bit of the same thing with the spring game. You know, you know Michigan's going to win. You're not expecting it. The all out, although last year's, it ended up being kind of competitive and it was entertaining in with some competition in there. I like that part. A lot of times you don't get that. And it just, you know, it ends, but you're around other Michigan fans. And what it does, you just see the gridiron gladiators out there, the defending national champs. You see the maize and blue. You just see the helmets, and it just runs through you. That energy of the team and the players and the crowd and being down there, you get out of there, and you are on cloud nine. And it picks you up, man. That positivity, just if you, the football energy that you get, even though it was just a practice, it's just, it fires you up. You're ready to go. You're ready to do whatever you do after a game, you know, and have some fun. That's it. That's what it's about. Okay. So that's where I'm at with the spring game. Tim is talking about a stupid split screen when they're doing commentary. He doesn't like it. He'd rather see the full screen game and interviews off camera. Yeah, well, you got to remember, Tim, generally speaking, when you're doing something for TV, we are the minority. We like the nuts and bolts. We like, you know, what's going on there on the field. Most of the people, like, so, you know, who, let's just, I don't know if J.J. McCarthy is going to be there, but, oh, J.J. McCarthy's down on the field. Let's go. Yeah, let's talk to. Who did I just see throwing out the Agent Zero? Let's go down and talk with Mike Sainristil, who's down on the sideline. And so, you know, for most, yeah, they know who the Agent Zero is. They're all excited. So, yeah, you'll get that screen and you might miss some things. It might be the best play. You know, that's why, Tim, you need to go to the game. Now, you could get it all. You know, you can, it can happen all through the screen. You know, you get to see almost everything that goes on. But one thing that I found about going to games live, and I know with the TV and the amenities that you have with the food and, you know, the restroom right there, the comfort of your nice couch, beautiful. You know, I love it. I love, you know, watching TV at home. I have never once in any sport made a trip, like drove all the way out to Auburn Hills to watch the Pistons, down to Detroit, the Red Wings or the Lions, or all the way somewhere to travel to go see Michigan play, even if they lose. I've never been like, you know, I wish I would have just stayed home and watched it on TV. It would have been better. Every time it's better when you go. So that's it. A little joke about advanced scouting. You know, there is some news with advanced scouting and with Michigan and all that. They made it official today. Let me just see if I can read it just so I can say they're allowing, and they talked about it, and it's been talked about how they're going to allow helmet communication, and it is in fact happening. I guess I didn't get the whether teams are, you don't have to have the helmet communication, but because of last year, they were on the way tracking to do it that way anyways. But after last year, now, yeah, helmet communication, that is going to be happening. So you do have that when it comes down to it. I don't know. You know, I noticed it with the last show I was doing with Scar. We were talking about sign stealing and cheeseburger and all of that, the suspensions and everything. I am not as, I get triggered a little bit by all of it. And, you know, a lot of drama and, man, you know, Michigan, I think compared to most of other programs out there, they're like Mother Teresa, but, you know, it just got played. It was out there in all the drama. I think some, you know, I know there are some people who, you know, just enjoy that kind of piece anyways, the drama. And I do know that if it was another team, all of us would be, you know, lobbing, you know, like, oh, you dirty rotten. And so now the shoe was on the other foot and you just had to take it. But, you know, I found that I start yelling and I just get triggered by that whole thing. It's good for me to just kind of chill. Oh, Tim. Now, you know, he's going to the spring game and then he likes to rewatch it when he gets home. That a boy, Tim. Now, I like it. Tim would like to see 90 to 100 in the stands. Yeah, I'm guessing 60, but, you know, that it's free. They're the national champs. You know, let's go. Yeah, 100,000 sounds great to me. Ohio State, what did they put, 80 in the shoe? They always put a big number down there. We'll take a few more, and then we got basketball coming up straight ahead. OT says if he were Michigan, he'd tell Fox that because Urban Meyer still has an office at OSU, he's not allowed to attend any Michigan home games airing on Fox. Yeah, I think, you know, that sounds like, yeah, stick it, Urban Meyer, you know, he's a blank hole and all this. The difference would be if Urban Meyer would be OT down on the sideline. Now, he is getting of great access. So there is a point to it. I'm not saying you don't have a point. He can't even say Michigan out loud, and he is down on the sideline and he does get privileged information. And you know, anything that's going there that he would tell Ryan Day, all the things, and he's doing it anyways. And he's, you know, so you do know that. The difference would be if he was taping something electronically, that would get into the bylaw. Right. So, I mean, that's the difference. I think Michael's, he's taking the under on 60,000. Tim says he remembers 60 when Harbaugh was there in 2015. Now he's saying Michigan just won the Natty. The weather is nice. We need to beat that. Yeah. Yeah. Is it nice to, would it be nice to put 90,000 there tomorrow? You say the weather's nice. I know 40s. If it was in the 50s, I could see, you know, more people in there. 60s, maybe even more. The 40s, I mean, you're keeping some people away. I don't know. 60s, my guess. That's where I'm at with it. We'll see how it plays out when it comes to the attendance. There's been a few times I've been in there where I've looked over there, and you got Dave Abeloff who comes up, but 40,000. I was like, what? It's hard. I don't know. You go to all the games and you see 110,000. They're not counting the people that come in. So you get all the people and then, but you look around, people might, you just, you know, casually walking. But I would say after the first quarter, that's when you're taking a look and you're making your estimates, just an estimate. I'd say give or take 10,000 on the estimate when it comes down to it. And if you're somebody like Abeloff, you might want to err on the side of, you know, you think, yeah, it looks like about half full. 65,000. Well, that's, wait a second, that's not half. So crank it up a little bit. Nobody, what are they going to say? People will say, nah, there wasn't even 50 there. 60,000 when it comes down there, Tim. You know, yeah, not quite 50. So that's, you know, Tim. It won't be 49. It has got to warm up a little bit. It's right at noon. It's just the temperature is going to be, I would say, temperature at kickoff, 44 degrees. So that's football weather, somebody mentioned. It's okay. It's exciting. What I think that you want to do if you can't get enough Michigan coverage is something that I tell you about every show. Join up the Maize and Blue Review. We'll be talking Michigan football all day and all night, everything that goes on in the spring game, every angle, everything that you can pull out. And during the spring game, I will be on the Maize and Blue Review, you know, telling everybody what I think from up in the press box. So just for that, go on in and get your Michigan fill. Go to michigan.rivals.com. Also, when it comes to Michigan, you've got basketball who's in play this weekend. There are plenty of visitors. There are plenty of high school players and transfer portal targets. Now, I said high school players. I'm not 100% sure about that. There are a lot of transfer portal targets. I put a couple of these names up here. So the targets for Michigan, Danny Wolf, who played at Yale, you may